The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
The amount of people looking for Andy Moore around Positano, it was all the rage. They're asking about what he's got to do next. When's the next episode out? The Football Pod's gone international.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Time for us to turn our attention to potentially the biggest 3 or 4 weeks in Gaelic football. Like, what is coming down the tracks is a decision on how we manage and run the sport. Essentially, and we know it's not forever, but all of these decisions that have been made have had far-reaching consequences. The qualifiers came in and then nothing really essentially changed for 20 years. So we're looking at the next 20 years of Gaelic football. To give us a perspective on this, I'm delighted to say Tony McEntee, the Sligo manager, is with us. Tony, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm very good. Thank you.
So we've been chatting about this in the office over the last few days, and it's hard to overstate how important the debate is about the structures, because if we get this wrong, it could be a long time before we're allowed to have the conversation properly again. But if we get it right, it feels to me like Gaelic football is primed to be a massive breakout sport where literally every county believes they have an opportunity of winning meaningful games 4 or 5 times a year. And all of a sudden, every kid growing up who plays Gaelic football is given the opportunity to dream.
Yeah, it does seem like that, doesn't it? But I suppose there is a challenge initially, and that challenge is the amount of conversations that's currently happening in respect to this structure. And with this meeting coming up now in 3 or 4 weeks, there is a concern, whenever this meeting is in November, there is a concern here that there hasn't been enough discussion and debate about it. And the outcome here might actually be to remain in the status quo, because we haven't had the chance to discuss things. Because that unknown piece, the uncertainty piece, the piece around the trying to pacify the concerns of the provincial councils, as an example, that's something that has to be discussed, and they have to be brought along this journey with you and I and everybody else for that matter, or else what's going to happen is, when it comes to the central meeting, that there'll be no change. Because they'll be afraid of change, and they'll not know what change means. And as a result, we will be in that stalemate whereby you saw at the start of this year, as an example, like the first 4 or 5 games was all 20-point defeats, and that's not something that we need going forward in our game.
It's essentially 4 weeks. That's when Congress is going to be. And there's certainly, from the GAA journalists who would know these things and who would kind of be talking to the people who are going to vote, there is concern that neither of the proposals will pass. And so therefore, we'll automatically fall back to either the Super 8s or even what predates the Super 8s, which was just the straight qualifiers. I think there's a concern about the Super 8s not fitting in the new split season calendar. So we could just end up with essentially straight knockout with qualifiers again. What difference would that make to a county like Sligo, for example, Tony?
We saw the impact this year, didn't we? So we trained this year. Yes, a disruptive year when the thing started, but we trained this year for a game against Mayo, and we got beat by 23 points against Mayo, and our season's over in a flash. And that season was a season where we had four games in advance of that. So for players in Sligo, for the players in Down, for the players in Clare, for all those teams that got hammered on that first weekend, what does it all mean? Like, what does it all mean when you're asking them to come back now in October, November, December, and start a year of football again, to turn around again in next June? We were out in June. Before June was over, Sligo Championship was over this year. And the biggest problem with this, apart from the obvious issue in relation to player morale and things like that, is that the good teams continue on, and the good teams get the chance to get better, and the good teams get more training in, and the good teams get more like-minded or competitive competition as the year goes on. So the good teams just get better and better and better, and the teams that's trying to catch up just simply don't have the chance. So should this structure remain for the next number of years? Because we can't... because the councils in particular can't get over their financial concerns, this will have huge impact for players in Sligo and elsewhere. And if I look at it practically for me as a Sligo manager, right now I'm going to the games in Sligo, and the whole management team is. We're trying to get all the games in. We've been to most of the league matches, we've been at most of the championship matches. And soon, very soon now, we'll be asking players to come in and join the Sligo panel. And they're going to ask that question, for what? For what, Tony? We're going to get four games next year, and they're going to put in 6 months' hard work. And it's a difficult argument, a difficult discussion to have with a player that you're asking to come in, put so much in, and get so little out of it.
What would you like to see?
I'd love to see the just me personally, and we did a I'm not sure if a poll is the right word for it, but we had a discussion with the players, and it wasn't unanimous by any means, but the majority of them thought that the option to go for the provincial championships as an early season option, and then followed into a group stage or learning series, was the preferred option. For many reasons, but principally because the provinces still happen. It maybe doesn't have the same status as it did before, but particularly because we got a number of games against competitive teams, and we had a chance to win our province, to compete in the All-Ireland series, and to progress properly as a team over a period of time. So certainly the option I would be looking for, I don't know if it's A or B nowadays, it's changed a couple of times, but that option where you have the provincial series first, followed then by a league stroke championship format.
Yeah, and the league, it seems to make a lot of sense. There's some debate about, oh, if you finish fifth in Division 1, you won't get into the All-Ireland series, and how is that better than finishing top of Division 4? It's like, well, you got beaten in loads of games in the league. That's, you know, you just need to improve next season. That's how competition works. Not everybody gets to progress.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's actually the sixth team in Division
16.
1, but still, the same thing applies, you're right. It creates that competition. Like, there's nobody in Division 1 entitled just to get straight into an All-Ireland series. So, you're right. Perform well in the league, there's an incentive there for everybody. And that incentive isn't just Division 1, it runs right through to Division 4, you know. And should Division 3 and Division 4 teams still struggle, there is that Talchon Cup. And that remains there for them, you know.
And just there's an interesting point here as well, I think, in that like the ladies football final recently got a massive TV audience, yet if you ask like the floating kind of Gaelic Games fan, he or she mightn't be able to name one player from the Sligo football team, yet Sligo are very good footballers, they're just not getting to be showcased at all.
Absolutely, to be fair, that's Sligo, but it's not just Sligo. There's so many good footballers out there who get so little exposure, because there's nobody interested in games that happens. Like, we made TV this year with I think it was Sky actually covered the Mayo game, but it was simply because Mayo was in it. And if it hadn't been anybody else, there's no way that game would have been on TV. And we have some excellent footballers there who are more than competitive in most teams that they might be on. We need more, obviously, and I'm not going to pretend that we're at like Mayo at this stage, but we're certainly a team that puts a lot of hard work in. Players put a lot of hard work in, and I think, and this isn't about exposure, right, Niles. I think it's if we're going to ask these players to keep putting that effort in, if we're going to ask the smaller counties to keep working hard, we need something for them to achieve. We need something that they can see and grasp. We need a goal that's somewhat achievable, not a goal that's so lofty and ambitious that we get there once in a lifetime. This dream, guys, just simply doesn't happen. This dream is, you know, no more. It used to be like when Armagh won the first 11 or Clare won the first 11. Like, those are dreams that happen, you know, but not anymore. The good teams are just so organised. They're so fit, they've such a high pick of players, they're so well conditioned, they've so many resources available to them, you know, that the smaller teams are just simply not going to make that breakthrough. It just won't happen anymore. Like, it's just not anymore possible. So in order for us to progress as Sligo and the rest of these teams that we're talking about, we need to do it bit by bit over a number of years. And if we're going to do that, then we need to be competitive over a number of years, or at least we need to have the chance of being competitive over a number of years, so that these players can keep putting that effort in, you know. And I think in the case of the GAA themselves, and I know they're working on this, they're working on a financial model that will offset the provincial finances that the provincial counties get for the different championships. The GAA is looking at a financial model, I understand, for that will send money back to the provinces that more than offset the loss that they will have by losing the priority of the provincial championships.
I actually think that the notion that the provincial championships will suddenly become completely irrelevant isn't true, because what's going to happen is the All-Ireland final will be in late June, early July, maybe it'll sneak into August, and there'll be no inter-county football for 6 months. So when the provincial championship comes back the following spring, everybody who is an inter-county fan will want to go and see the inter-county games, and it'll be a short, sharp shock, a blitz, essentially, over 3 or 4 weeks. And we'll be like, oh, this is great. It's brilliant. These players are back. And now let's talk about what's going to happen in the Sam Maguire race. Like, I think we have a tendency to go to the worst case scenario in all of this, as opposed to seeing the possibility. And for me, the bit where you're talking about the players, for what, Tony? When you, if the new championship comes in, when you're saying to players, well, there's going to be 7 or 8 games in the league, and if we win 7 of those games, we're going to be in an All-Ireland either quarter-final or whatever that round is going to be called. Like, it'll be the first tangible sign of progress that we've been able to stand over since we won a Connacht title 15 years ago. But we have a good chance, because those teams are the same quality as us. They're almost exactly the same quality as us, so why not us?
Yeah, and the beauty of that particular model, where the provincial championship comes first, you still have the opportunity of playing against Mayo and Galway in this case. You know, you still can say we played against Mayo and Galway. It's not that you'll ever play any of them teams now with the new series playing in Division 3 and Division 4. You play a provincial championship, you get the opportunity, you compete against them, you win or lose, it really makes no difference, and you get into the Ireland series. You know, so I don't see a loss. That there has been, and I've spoken to Sligo people actually. And Sligo people say that, you know, we always need to have that ambition of playing Mayo and Galway and the chance to beat them. You know, that's your mark. You know, that's your mark. And listen, fine, that is your mark. But it's just too far away. It's just simply not achievable.
Well, just like when Leitrim's Connacht Championship win, this is at a time when we'll say Leitrim took on a Mayo team that was an absolute rabble. But like nowadays, the professionalism and all the work that goes in and the resources that goes into the bigger counties, it's pretty much completely impossible for the likes of Sligo and Leitrim to now compete with Galway and Mayo. Simple as,
yeah. And you know, Sligo, and we got to face the facts here. Like in Sligo, for example, like we're now 10 years effectively in Division 4. You know, we bounce up to Division 3 and back down, but it's effectively 10 years in Division 4. A Connacht final, as you said, back that same length of time, 10 years or more ago at this stage. And we need to be, and all the smaller counties, we need to be realistic. We need to understand where we are at the minute. We need to accept where we are at the minute. We need to be comfortable that we are in whatever position we're in at the minute, because until we accept that, then we're not in a place that we can grow or we can develop or we can mature into the team that we might be in the future. If we keep looking at the likes of Mayo and Galway and think that we're them, and think that we can compete against them realistically on the big occasion, well then we're only fooling ourselves. In a lot of ways, we're only fooling ourselves, and that's just not us. It's Division 2, 3 and 4 counties at the minute. So in a lot of ways, we need to accept that. But the smaller counties, Sligo and everybody else, accepting that alone is not enough, because we're not totally in control of our destiny here. And that's why this is important, that we look at about change in structure. That's why it's important what happens.
And Tony, isn't there a kind of a sense of like trying to win the hearts and minds here? Like, just Sligo as an example. Like, Markovic Park is a really iconic ground, but like, when did a Sligo fan last go there and really feel passion in his heart because, you know, I saw a Sligo team do so well? Whereas you can go to the Showgrounds and you can see Johnny Kenny score for Sligo Rovers in a professional league. And if you're a young player who might be toggling between Sligo Rovers and Sligo football, and I'm not sure if there's much of a crossover, it's like, well, I could have a professional career and possibly win a league with Sligo Rovers, or I could go to play football for Sligo and be a baby elephant mauled by lions in Castlebar.
Yes. Listen, the biggest problem we have in Sligo is the soccer. The soccer does well. I think it's, you know, in my view on it, it's a slightly fool's goal looking at the soccer piece, because I'm not sure there's that many homegrown Sligo players playing with Sligo Town. But the second issue we have then would be potentially rugby. We have a few players who actually would be very good at the rugby as well, and Connacht rugby would be reasonably strong. And then, for good or bad, the actual issue that impacts us most in the football end is the hurling. We have quite a crossover of players who are very good for us on the football side, but also are very good for Sligo at their level in the hurling side. And this presents an issue for us as a small county, because we have 23 clubs in Sligo at the minute. We have 50,000 people in total. And in a short season, it is impossible to play two sports in a short season and get all the games in and to get some level of training or coaching or conditioning or otherwise for those types of players. So that's a big issue. And I know it's not a big issue elsewhere, because dual sports people just simply are a rarity at this stage. You know? And if we could accommodate it, we have four or five possibly in Sligo who play hurling who we would like on the football panel.
Okay, that like, and
that's news to a lot of people, isn't it?
Well, and look, you can see it in other counties as well. Wexford definitely have issues where there's a crossover, and I actually don't know what the solution to that is. I definitely know what I think. Like, it's interesting to hear that your players, it's not unanimous, but certainly it sounds like the bulk of them were in favour of the league campaign. Are you guys, do you feel like this next month is important for you to have your voice heard, for the players to have their voice heard, to tell the administrators what's on the line here is like hundreds and hundreds of young inter-county players from counties in divisions 2, 3 and 4 just walking away from the game, because what's the point?
Yes, now listen, I believe from conversations with the county board that the county board are very much supportive of this. The county board in Sligo at least are very progressive. They want improvement in Sligo, they want improvement in Connacht actually, so they're very progressive towards change, and they understand that change in this case means disrupting the provincial councils. And I do also believe that the other counties and county management and county teams in Connacht, in this case, if I stick with Connacht, are also in favour of change, or potential change at least, in one of those two options that might be available. The difficulty though arises that the provincials are the ones that don't want change, or potentially don't want change. Now, when it comes to Congress, each county has their own mandate, I guess, and their own vote. So it's not the provincials that vote, clearly, as we know. But will they be under pressure from the provincials will they be mandated from the provincials to vote the way the provincials want, or will they accept their own county vote from their own committee? So I suppose therein lays the issue, is that pull and tug between paymaster and pay, like, you know, as to what outcome will come there. But what I would say is that we need the task force to come up with these rules, to come forward with further explanation on the financial proposals. We need enough information so that the walls that have been built up with provincial councils can be knocked down, and that they can be given more reassurance and understanding around the financial pieces. Because once that's sorted out, I do believe that everybody will be consistent in moving forward with progression here in relation to GAA. And I hope that that is the case. Because earlier in the year, or sorry, the end of last year, we had a situation whereby the GAA task force, or one of the task force, made a decision to move from odds to evens in year grades, resulting in the under 17 minor grade. And I'm not sure, well, I'm certain at least that minor grade system at 17 years of age is not working. And I'm just conscious here that we will end up with a second policy decision making coming from task force that either is adopted or not, and will be the wrong decision. And I think already we have a huge problem with under 17s coming through the seniors. And if we now have a situation where we have the county situation not sorted out, we've two major headaches in the GAA that we are simply not dealing with. And I think that's going to be a problem for us moving forward. Right across the board.
Tony, great to have you with us this morning. Congratulations on the re-ratification, and thanks a million for sharing those views, because it's important that we get them here. Cheers.
Thanks, guys.
Tony McEntee giving us his thoughts there, and as I said, ratified for another year in Sligo.